Glory to God. Well, we got back into this series called Seek First the Kingdom a few weeks ago. I think this is the third one since we've kind of got rehooked. And we spoke last week, last time we spoke on this, we got into some things, and we're going to get into some things here. Well, I'll hold on that. Let's turn to our text, Matthew 6. Praise God. Matthew 6, verse 24. Everybody there? Or it's on your sheet? Therefore I say to you, no, verse 24, not 25. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Down verse 31 says, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Notice, He said don't worry about tomorrow. He didn't say don't plan for tomorrow. Just don't think about anything but today. That would be foolish. But He said don't worry about it. There's a big difference. You know, just because you have an appointment next Thursday, you can plan, and obviously you did plan somewhat to make the appointment for next Thursday, because that's not today. But there's a difference between planning and worrying about what's going to happen at the appointment. Big difference. You could worry from now until Thursday, and then it's nothing. But what'd you do? You wasted time worrying. You probably hurt your body worrying. Jesus said, don't do that. So He said you can't serve two masters, and to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Let's read it in the New Living Translation. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So don't worry about these things, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, what shall we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. All of your needs. Whatever age we are, He knows what our needs are. Whatever country we're in, He knows what our needs are. Whatever phase of life we're in, whether we're single, we're married, have children in the house, children outside the house, He knows what our needs are. Our life is so small, so short compared to Him and what He's seen. There are no surprises. He knows exactly. So we can just rest in that and say, Lord, You already know, so I'm just going to live according to Your Word. And myself, as another human being, walking the earth as many thousands and millions have before, I'm going to walk, they've walked the earth. As for my life, I'm going to walk according to what You said, because You know. Every phase, You have a plan, You know exactly what I need. And so, He's telling us not to serve both God and money. He said, you cannot do it. What does it mean to serve something? It means that's what dictates what you're going to do. If you were a servant in a mansion with somebody that was your employer, you're there to serve that person. That means what they need, you provide, right? Well, you can't take orders from two of them. And let's say you got a husband and wife there and they don't get along and one tells you to go upstairs and one says, no, go downstairs and get my shoes. Well, what are you going to do? You can't serve both of them, can you? If they're telling you opposite stuff, well, I'll please both of them. What if they both say, I want you to go up? What if the one says, I want you to go down and get my slippers now? Another one says, go make me a tuna fish sandwich now. What are you going to do? They didn't say do it at your leisure. They said now. What are you going to do? You can't do both of them, can you? You can't. So that's serving two masters. God said, Jesus said, who is God? Jesus said, You can't serve both God and money. So if God says, do this, and money's saying, but you can't. You can't do it now. God says, do it now. What are you going to do? You can't serve both of them? What if money says, you got to do that, you got to take that job now, and God says, no, you don't want to do that now. Yeah, but it's so much money. Yeah, but it's not the right time. What are you going to do? Can't serve both of them. People try all the time, kind of straddle. You're not going to work that way. Go back to our example. What if you tried to please both of them? I'm going to try to get the slippers while I'm making the tuna fish sandwich or something like that. You just make a mess. Right? It doesn't work. I know it's real tempting to try to make it work, but the fact is it doesn't work. Jesus just said it won't work, so don't try. Now, which one of those, if you can't serve both God and money, which one do you think you ought to serve? God. There's a lot of people that have served money, and the outcome at the end is not good. The report at the end is not good. There's regret. There's remorse. But if we've served God with our whole heart, no. Some people think it costs to serve God. Well, I'm just doing this all for Jesus. It's a hard road, but that's not true. It does not cost to serve God. It pays. To serve Him, it pays. Now, will it all just be just so easy all the time? No. Did Jesus have it easy all the time? No. But was He victorious? Yes. Who's our example? Jesus. If He could do what He did, now we're not the Christ, but whatever we're doing for Him, it is not laying down our life and being crucified. I just read it this morning. Being crucified for the sins of the whole world. He did the heavy lifting. Anything we do, Paul calls it a light affliction. It's not heavy. Not relatively speaking. Now, I'm not making light of what we're doing, but we ought not to say, it's just so hard. I'm just doing all this stuff for Jesus. He did everything for us. We get to serve Him. And on top of that, He'll make sure we're taken care of. Always does. Always makes sure. He's not going to be a debtor to any man. He pays well. And He, like somebody said, He doesn't necessarily settle up every Saturday night, but He settles up. Amen?
Amen.
You may think, what am I doing this? And all of a sudden, stuff right when you need it, it's just abundant. Anybody can testify to that? He knows. Sometimes we think we need it now. We need it right now. But He knows, no, you don't need it now. You only think you need it now. Here's where you need it. He's always right on time. Right on time. If we walk by sight, sometimes we'll get a little antsy. We'll think, no, I need it yesterday. I have to have it. Doesn't God know? What did we read earlier? He knows all our need. Does He?
Yes.
He already has it planned out. What's our job? Walk with Him. Just take Him at His word. Understand, we're not the first person to walk down this road through this life. Anything we're going through, He's seen. He's seen other people do it. He knows how to provide. Done this before, not His first rodeo. We have examples in the Bible where, He had to give food to the ravens to feed. He can do it. In famine, He can do it. He knows how to get it done. Our job is not to try to figure it out. Our job is just to work with Him. It's so much easier just to work with Him and then not try to do it ourselves.
Yes.
We just make a mess of it. Anyway, so we're supposed to serve Him. And we've been talking about, we got into a couple Sundays ago, or a few Sundays ago, I don't know how many, three or four, just talking about overworking, which goes with this. Let's read a few scriptures here as we're reviewing. Just on your sheet, we won't take the time to turn. Exodus 20, verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." So that takes care of the serving part. We know who we're supposed to serve. It's the Lord. It's God. Proverbs 23, 4 through 5, "Do not overwork to be rich, because of your own understanding cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Don't overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Stop it. We spent some time on that several weeks ago. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." The New Living Translation, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones." Amen. So he said, unless God is in it, you're wasting your time. Does God know how to get done what he's told us to do?
Yes,
he does. So what's the sense of us stressing and trying to work too hard to get done what he told us to do? God, I'm just doing what you told me to do. Yeah, but there's a way to do it. It's not just do it any old way. We have to do it in a way that that lines up with what he's saying. Good night. Kids, at this time, we've talked about it, how kids are in junior high and high school are so busy already. With so many things. I mean, even elementary school, it's like some people are trying to get their kids and everything with the track of, they think they're preparing them for things. Some of it's just fear that they won't be able to compete. That's looking to our natural self. I'm not saying don't prepare. I'm saying do what we ought to do, what God leads us to do. There's a big difference. Does the Lord know where we're going to be in 20 years? Does he know what we're actually going to work on?
Yes.
Does he know what our destiny actually is?
Yes.
Then if we're led by him, we'll do the most efficient path to be ready for what we're supposed to do, right?
Yes.
Now, if we just get the game plan, say, well, I'd like to do this and this. You know, I've said this before, but it'll bear repetition. People have said to their children, and in this country especially, because we're so blessed with opportunity, that you can be anything you want to be, anything you set your mind to, you can be, your will to. Well, there's a truth there, but what we ought to really be telling our kids and young people, what we ought to be saying is, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I can do whatever you tell me to do. I will set my heart on it, and by your strength, I can do whatever you tell me to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a lot different than saying, I can do anything I set my mind to.
Yes.
Or I purpose my will to. Those are two different things. The one has to be subservient to the other. If we'll say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? You show me what I need to do today to be prepared for that. So today, what steps am I supposed to be taking? Because you know my future better than I know my past. You know where I'm going to be 5 years, 10 years. You know what the job market's going to be like. You know what skills that I need to develop for my destiny. Now you tell me what it is that I'm supposed to do. And when I get the direction, now I can do whatever it is. I will not quit. I can set my mind, my heart, my will after it. And because it's your plan, I will not quit. I'll do it according to your word, and I will not be defeated. That's the proper plan. But what a lot of people are trying to do is they're going out saying, my plan, excuse me. It's okay. They're saying, people come up with their own plan and say, now this is my 5-year plan. This is what I'm going to do. You see people all the time set out and do it. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to do this. But there's no God in it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn everything I can about this. Education is good. But we ought to involve the Lord and say, what is it you want me to get educated in? Because you could get 3 degrees. and never use it in what you end up doing. I'm not saying it's complete waste. I mean, all learning, to a degree, you're adding to yourself, but you could have been a lot more efficient doing something else that you actually use all of it. Because we don't have to guess. Do you hear me?
Yes.
We don't have to guess. Our job is not to figure out what we're supposed to do. Our job is to ask God what He wants us to do. That part, the hardest part, is actually already taken care of. Let's do what He told us to do and then put all our ability and resources into following Him. There's a big difference. But He said, unless the Lord builds the house, the work of the builders is wasted. It's no good. It's useless. I want to build what the Lord would have me to build. How about you? When I go on to, I'm about ready to leave and go to heaven if Jesus doesn't come back before that, I want to say, I did what He told me to do. Children, grandchildren, you keep on following God, you do it. We had a good time here, but my time is done. I'm going on. But I did, like Paul said, I fought the good fight. I've run my course. I'm done. I'm going on. And it was it wasn't wasted. It was what the Lord had me to do. And here's the fruit. All glory be to God. Amen. Now, that's a little bit kind of things we've covered, but we started to get into this last, I think it was 2 weeks ago, last time we were together. Then we started talking about the Sabbath again. We talked about it a little bit last fall, but we got into it here. And let's see. Yeah, we're going to be in Exodus some. You can take the time. Go ahead and turn over to Exodus 20. We're going to be here, I think. Exodus 20. Praise God. And it's on your sheet too. Exodus 20, verse 8. Now, these are the Ten Commandments. And we read these last time. And I'm not going to take time to cover what I covered last time, because we started here and we got into some things. And if you didn't hear that message, I would encourage you very much to go back and listen to it, because we're getting into some things here concerning the Sabbath. We're going to get into tithing. And yes, there's things that are mentioned in the Ten Commandments and in the law. But some people have a misunderstanding about the law and its place. And anything that is mentioned anywhere in the law, some people think that doesn't have anything to do with us. And that's just not true. Now, we do not operate according to the law for righteousness. Did you hear me? And I'm not going to take time to preach all this. But if we throw out everything that is in the law, we're going to be missing God. Because if you look at your Bible, there's a good chunk of it that's in the Old Testament. And it's not, the Bible says those were written for us as examples. There's so much in the Old Covenant, in what we call the Old Testament, that is beneficial for us today. Now, we interpret the Old Testament in light of the New. You have to interpret it in light of what we know. And so we spent a good chunk of time this last time talking about that, because otherwise, if we don't take it for what it's saying, we'll miss so much value and we'll cast things aside, which is where a lot of people are. They've cast stuff aside that is actually godly. Like we said last week, do you understand that our judicial system was based a lot on what is in the law? Our laws today that we operate this society under came from the law. And when we look at the Ten Commandments, now there are things that have passed away. And we're not under legalism. Thank God we are under grace. Thank God that you don't get stoned for certain things. You miss it, that's it. We're taking you outside, and we're all going to stone you. Thank God that we're not under that rigidity, and that Jesus bought and paid for our salvation so that we can come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need. Even if we've fallen flat on our face, we can get up and go boldly and say, Lord, I missed it, I blew it. Thank you for your forgiveness and receive forgiveness. They could not do that under the old covenant. Could not. So we have a much better covenant. But we are in error if we throw out everything that was in the old covenant and say none of it applies. That's just not true. And we'll end up in error. And we'll end up actually missing out on a lot of blessings that God has for us, because unless He specifically changed something in the new covenant, a lot of it, there's a number of things that still stand. And we're talking about this today. Now, we spent a lot of time on this last time, and I don't want to repeat that sermon. You can go on the recording on the website, and it's there, and I encourage you to do that, because a lot of people in the body of Christ are confused about these things. And the problem really is legalism. People have gotten into legalism and been under such burden because of that they have actually, they've been way over in the ditch on one side, or with people that were way in the ditch. And what they've done, they're in the ditch on one side of the road, and instead of going to the middle of the road, they just jumped right over the road and went in the ditch on the other side. And now they don't want to have anything to do with anything that sounds remotely like anything they should or should not do, because that's putting me in bondage, and that's actually deception just as much, and it won't lead to a balanced life. So we look at Exodus 20, and you look through these, and we can do it really quick, but when we talk about the Sabbath, the reason I spent some time on that is because we have to be able to look at this and understand that this actually applies to us. Now, the legalism, people the way have done it legally, it doesn't. But if you look at it, some people have tried to say the Ten Commandments just don't apply. That's just not true. And you read it and you say, well, which one passed away? Which one? Now, we walk according to love. But you're not saved based on keeping the Ten Commandments, but just look at them. I mean, which one do you want to say that doesn't apply and that I'm willfully practicing this and it's not affecting me? As a Christian, I don't see how anybody could really do that. So number one, I am the Lord your God. We read this. Who brought you out of Egypt and the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. So today, should he be the first God, or should we have something else? Does this apply to us or not?
Yes.
It absolutely does. You shall not make idols. Does that apply to us or not? Today we should make idols? No. We should take the name of your God in vain. So it's okay to take God's name in vain now.
No,
it's not. And it, just because we're under grace does not mean it's still just as bad. It's just you're not going to get a bolt of lightning, right? But, you know, that's blaspheming God's name. That's not showing Him respect. If we truly care for the Lord, we'd say, Lord, I blew that. I mean, yeah, we grew up in different ways. You might have been around it every day where people were saying this. God understands that. It takes a while. That's why we should never yield to certain things coming out of our mouth, because it's hard to get rid of.
Yes.
Anybody found that out?
Yes.
You start yielding and saying things, you get a habit. It's hard, but God loves us. And if we let something slip, doesn't mean that we're cast aside. It just means, Lord, that was stupid. I know I'm not supposed to say that. I got mad. Forgive me. Boom. Thank God it's like that, and they don't take us outside and stone us for it. You know, I've made it 30 years and never said anything, but I just did it. Nope, sorry, you're done, pal. That's it. Don't ever say it again. Well, I won't. I'll be dead. So verse 8, remember the Sabbath day. That's right in the middle here. We'll get back to that. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother. Is that applicable?
Yes.
Well, to look at some people, they don't. And look at the results.
Right.
No, we're supposed to honor our father and murder. How about 13? You shall not murder. True or no? 14, you shall not commit adultery. That apply?
Yes.
Watch what you say. Verse 15, you shall not steal. It's okay to steal now.
No.
Thank God for the grace of Jesus. We can steal all we want. No.
No.
You shall not bear false witness or lie. True or not?
True.
You shall not covet your neighbor's house. So not, you know, you want your neighbor's stuff and his wife and everything. Is that okay or not?
No.
It's not okay. So then why would the middle one pass away? Well, that's different. How's it different? I don't get that. No, it's still valid. And it actually has a lot of benefits. So if you didn't hear that other one and you have questions in your head, go listen to that message a few weeks ago. It will help you. But we got to move on. And I think you can just look at it. I don't think any Christian, genuine Christian, would say these other ones have passed away. So just it just follows logically that the Sabbath day, if you understand it correctly, would not have passed away. And this is actually not supposed to hinder us or bind us. It's supposed to help us and set us free. It will set you free from overwork, and it's a safeguard in the way God set it up. If you follow this, you will have the benefits. Now let's look at Exodus 8, verse 11 then. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy or set apart. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Now notice what the Bible actually says about it. Okay, men get ideas and religious ideas about it, and that's a lot of times what people rebel against. But look at what the Bible actually... We're going to read a number of scriptures. Not theories. Scripture. For something to be scriptural, you have to have scripture. So we're going to look at scripture. Not my theory. Not somebody else's theory. Just what the Bible... Let the Bible be the Bible. For what it actually says. Not some idea. Somebody told you what the Sabbath is. Not what religious people started to make it. But what is it? What did God set it up? And He set it up long before this. And we'll see that. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Verse 10, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, one thing you have to understand as we get into this, it's the seventh day. Now, he codified something here in the law, but the Jewish people, their whole society was together and revolved around the same things. It wasn't like the society we live in today. So they made the seventh day was it. Now, fast forward, you skip today. A lot of people, their day off or the Sabbath day is Sunday in Christianity, and you see that in the New Testament. If you look at these scriptures, God is not concerned with the day. That's where people start getting legalistic about stuff. Don't look at the legalist part of it. Look at the principle and what God's actual intention from Scripture is. No use having an argument, is it Saturday or Sunday? We'll get into it. The bottom line is, are you setting apart something as He told you? I'll tell you right now, Sunday is not my day off. And I don't know ministers that it is. Okay? It's not about that. It's about doing what He said here. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation in your on your sheet. Exodus 20 verse 8. Same thing in the New Living Translation. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. When you see holy in the Bible, you'll see it means set apart. It's set apart. It's special. We're a holy people. We're set apart. We have religious ideas of holy. Ooh, holy. Well, people don't wash for religion. It means set apart. We ought to be holy people. We ought to be different. Not weird. Not weird.
Right.
Not flaky.
Right.
But we ought to look different. Why do you do that? Well, the Word says to do that. Well, nobody else does it. So, you know? No, we're supposed to actually stick out. We will stick out more and more. Again, not in a weird way.
Yes.
Just because of the way we act, it should be lining up with the Word of God. And if the world is not lining up with the Word of God, there's going to be you're going to stick out.
Yeah.
But we're supposed to be lights. We're supposed to be light to the world. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth.
Yes.
Verse 9, you have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath and set it apart. See, he's even saying it, set it apart as holy. Not religious. Holy. Not jumping through religious hoops. It's holy. It's set apart to God for a reason. Look at your sheet there. Leviticus, we won't take time to turn over here. Leviticus 23:3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now you can see right from what we're going to read a few other scriptures, but what it talks about the Sabbath is pretty much what we've read. There's not pages and pages and pages about what you should and should not do. It's very straightforward. Now men take this and have taken it like they've done with everything in the books that the Jewish leaders ended up writing. They would take, just like we mentioned, the example of getting the leaven out of the house during, I think it was Passover. They blew that up to pages and pages of what you could and could not do and how you can do it. All God said is, don't use it. If you have a little bit that got in the crack, God's not concerned with that. How do you know? He didn't tell you. If he was concerned, he would have laid it down in his word not to do that. He didn't. God is not a legalist, and he's not weird. He's not looking to try to catch us on some technicality. He just said, don't do this. Men have said, and this is what he meant. Let us tell you, and go through all the jot and tittles, and you got to do this, and you got to sweep it up with this brush, and if you don't get this, and there's one little speck, you're in violation. No wonder people go, forget it. Forget this. This is nonsense. I'm tired of this. And if God's like that, forget him. Right? That's what people are rebelling against. But God's not like that. Religious people are like that. God's not looking, going, make a mistake. I want to see you do it. You know, just like with a fly swatter. As soon as you get in position, bam, got you. Yes. You're going to do it now. Let's see if you make a mistake. And that's the picture that people have of God. No wonder they're running from him. That's not the Lord, though. God is not like that. Those are the religious leaders. Those are the people that Jesus was harder than anybody on. Those type of people. He did not give them one inch. Why? That's not how you deal with somebody like that. They'll take grace and just run over it. They don't need that. You cannot be gracious to somebody that believes they deserve it. On the other hand, the woman that caught in adultery, probably you look at it, what the religious leaders looked like they were doing was everything right. The woman caught in the issue of adultery looked like she was doing everything right, wrong, but Jesus dealt with her very gently and softly. So don't do this anymore. It's going to hurt you. He didn't call her, you know, whitewashed sepulcher and stuff like he did with the religious leaders. He didn't pin her to the wall. Had a right to, didn't. On the other hand, he came out with both barrels against those other guys. Why? Because they are hurting people's relationship with God by making them think that God is like these guys. God hates that. He said, "Don't." If the person that turns a little one against me, it would be better. If that person, I can't quote that. I'm going to mix up a couple scriptures. But he said, it's not good. Amen. So here, as we're reading this, look at what God is actually talking about the Sabbath. Look at the scriptures. He doesn't say a whole lot about it. It's pretty simple. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. That's what you see over and over. You just don't work. It is a Sabbath of the Lord in your dwelling. So the question is, what is work? Because he just said don't do it. Question is, what is it? Well, work in the Old Testament, deputyship, ministry, generally employment, or work abstractly or concretely, also property, that's a result of labor, that's how it's translated. In the King James, it means business, or it's translated these different ways, business, cattle, industrious, occupation, officer, a thing made, used, a manner of work. It's a word, is most general word, this is the most general word for work. It is used to refer to the work of a skillful craftsman, a weaver, a jeweler, and a perfumer. It means you don't do any of work, of things like this. But Genesis, look over at Genesis on your sheet. We're not done with the work thing, but I think you'll see it more clearly as we get into these next scriptures. Genesis 2, verse 1 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So God himself, this is before the law. Okay? Nobody was around. God just created the world. He blessed it and sanctified. He worked 6 days. Well, again, you could start it at any day. It's a cycle. It's a rhythm. 6 days on, 1 day off. 6 days on, 1 day off. Now, what happens if something came up and you did 7 days on and 1 day off? Oh my gosh, no! And the next week you did 5 and 1. God is not legalistic. What he's saying is, you put aside a day. It's not religious. He put something in place when he created the world and say, this is how you do it. He created our bodies. And he made them to work on a schedule. He made them to operate a certain way. And if we violate that consistently, we're going to reap consequences of doing that. God is not concerned with legalities of you doing all these things right. He set something out to help us. He said, "I made you. This is how you're made to operate." Like your oil change in your car is meant to be changed regularly, right? You say, "Well, I just haven't done it for 50,000 miles." It's not that somebody's mad at you. It's just your car's going to suffer for it. No. Right? "Well, I just, you know, I haven't taken any days off, but I'm going to take a whole bunch now." That's not the way God set it up. We need to rest as we go. And you see, not only did they take frequent days off or regular days off, then they took whole times where they had feasts. They had a party. God commanded them to party. He did. He did stuff a lot different. And it's regular. Keeps the thing working the way it's supposed to work. It's like a stop. It's like ding, 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 ding. Pause. Ding, 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 ding. I don't know, I'm not doing six, but you know, a bunch of them. Pause. It's a reset button. Your mind, you keep going and going and going, and there's no rest there. It weighs on your mind. It weighs on your muscles. You need rest. We need to decompress our mind and stop it thinking about certain things and what? Focus on the Lord. He said it's a holy. What does that mean? It's set apart. You're doing it to focus on Him. You're saying, "Lord, at your word, I'm going to do this." Did you notice it says God rested on the seventh day? Do you think God was just dead tired?
No.
He, on purpose, stopped to enjoy what He made and take a step back. And He said, "This is the way I want you to do it. Stop. Rest." He said not to do any work. You guys still in Exodus? Turn over to 16. A couple of chapters back. Glory to God. Is this okay?
Yes.
Exodus 16:15. So, you can look at verse 14 if you're turned or it's not on your sheet. Wait. Verse 14 says, when the layer of dew lifted there, this is talking about manna, on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as the frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord God has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are of his tent. So that's the command. Is that clear? You know, so this measure is basically based on how much you need. This family might need more, so you take this much. This family might need less, you take this much. Okay, that's what he said. Now, if you skip down to verse 22, it says, and so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much. Well, let's just read through this. Verse 17, then the children of Israel did so and gathered some less, some more. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over. He who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Now remember what we started out with in Matthew? Does God know what we need?
Yes.
He does. Okay? Verse 19, and Moses said, let no one leave any of it till morning. So use it up. Verse 20, notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them. Verse 21, so they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. So notice right away, somebody's trying to do something that God didn't tell them to do. He told them, don't leave any of it. What'd they do? They're going to leave some of it. The people haven't changed that much today. They haven't changed at all today. Can't point at these people. You know, somebody said, I knew you. If I'm pointing at you, I got three fingers pointing back at me and five or four if you have a curly thumb. So if I'm saying, these stupid Israelites, look at I'm pointing right at myself because I'm human too. We may have done the same thing were we in the same position. Nope, these are examples for us. Verse 22, and so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until morning. So they laid up until morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Verse 27, now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. Verse 28, and the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. Verse 30, so the people rested on the seventh day. So notice what happened. God gave them a command. What did they do? Some of them. We're not going to do it God's way. He tells them, look, on the sixth day, you go and you get twice as much. It will be for you on the seventh day. There won't be any there on the Sabbath day. There won't be any there on the Sabbath day. What do some of the people do? Wake up on the Sabbath day, go look for it in the same place. Guess what? There's nothing there. Some people before tried to use some from the last day. All he said is, you get what you need for that day and use it. Don't save it. What do people try to do? Save it. God is giving them, like he said, the Sabbath day. He is giving it to them. He's giving them a day off. And he's saying, there will be enough for the other days. The sixth day will have twice as much, so you won't need to go out and give it. I'm giving you a day off. And the people wouldn't take it. They said, I want to do it. I want to go out. This is what a lot of people are doing now. But I want to do it. But God said, don't. God said, don't. Look at chapter 31, Exodus 31. We'll read this. And then we'll talk just a few minutes about this work. Exodus 31, verse 12. It's on your sheet. Y'all there? And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you, or consecrates you, sets apart you. We're set apart. There are people that they say, you know, we need to work as hard as we can, and it's a badge of honor to just work around the clock every day. We work 7 days a week. God said, no. And he said, you'll have more if you do it the way I told you, and you'll have a day off. Men have their theories, but we have to have our trust in God. Again, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to serve? Are we going to serve Him? Are we going to serve the way the world tells us, or fear tells us? Why would you work a seventh day? Because one reason is, you think you have to. If I don't work, I'm not going to have enough. God said you would. It's an act of trust saying, Lord, it looks like I have to do it. I want to go out. I don't see how I'll get it done, but at your word, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what you said, and I'm taking my hands off. We give God something to work with, and now He can multiply that time. Now He can make sure we have everything we need. Now we give Him legal right to work and to multiply. But otherwise, if we go out, we're just like these Israelites saying, well, you said it, but I don't care. I'm going out, and there's nothing there. Did you hear me? It's a waste. Well, you might say, well, I got something from it. It wasn't a waste. But at what cost? What are you giving up? When will you pay for it? You can't overwork and it not affect you. You can't break the commandments of God and it won't affect you. You can cry, you can call for mercy, and God is a forgiving God. But why not just listen to Him to begin with, since He made our bodies, He knows. He wrote the user manual. Why break and go against the user manual and then call for a repair? I didn't do what you said. I'm sorry. Well, God's just and merciful, and He'll help you. But why go there? Why not just say, you said this, that's good enough for me. I believe I'll stop now. Like I said, because of your own understanding, cease. Don't overwork. I see everybody else going at it, but God said not, so I'm going to go. I'm going to have a nice tea. I'm going to relax. At the command of the Lord. Well, you're just not a hard worker. I'm doing exactly what God told me to do. It'll pay off. When they're dropping, or they're having problems, or things are blowing up, Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you, set apart to you. Everyone who profanes the Sabbath or defiles it shall surely be put to death. Now, thank God this part does not apply to us. This is where you differentiate. Jesus took the punishment for this. We don't, but there's natural laws set in place with your body. You can't break physical laws and undo. But thank God you don't need to go out and you're not going to be put to death for breaking it. Thank God. That's where we have to differentiate. Work shall be done. No, it says, everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. These people were not spirit-filled, could not hear the voice of God. They had to have these sharp boundaries because they could not sense what God was telling them like you and I. He had to be rigid. It's like a two-year-old. You can't reason with a two-year-old. But if they know they're going to get spanked for certain things, they'll listen. And yes, spanking is scriptural, and we're not going there. But you look at the Bible, it's absolutely scriptural. Why? They understand that. Don't spank them for everything, but there are certain things. You go out in, you go out in front of the yard when I told you not to, and there's cars out there. I need you to know that that can kill you. You need to feel pain. They associate, they understand that. Lovingly, not mad, not angry, but you need to understand this is not good for you. It's not the same way you deal with an 18-year-old. Right? Look, here's what this is going to do to you. Well, these people are spiritually dead. We're alive. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Why is he so harsh? Because if people start doing the wrong thing, it's going to hurt everybody. God had to act like this with the people because they did not have the Spirit of God. They did not live under grace. He had to get them to live. If they would start doing things against the law, it will spread. And that's why when you see people say, well, God was just so unmerciful in the Old Covenant. No, He was merciful. He had to do some of the things He did in judgment, or else it would have affected many, many more people. Generations. Always stay on God's side. But, thank God we're not under that covenant in those type of results. Verse 15, work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, perpetually. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So you have it in a nutshell. Don't work. Rest. Be refreshed. For what? To continue what God has given you to do. And it's a rhythm. You get refreshed. So what? You have the strength to go out and do what God has told you to do. So then, we've done enough. It's time to stop. It's time to get nourished in God. It's time to be refreshed. And when you're refreshed, go out and do it again. Now, we'll wrap up here, and we'll hook back up in a couple weeks then. But that you need to, and it's going to be hard to get into this, but we'll just touch on it. But as far what does the Scripture say? It says, "Don't work." Work can be defined differently for different people, based on what you do in life. But if you look at the context and you look at the different things people did, work is doing something that gets you, and if you look at what they were doing with the food, they were going out and gathering something that they needed to live. And the temptation is to try to get more done. Stuff you need to do. Stuff you have to do. to do more. It's not the physicality so much, although that's part of it, because if you work with your mind all week and you go out and get refreshed and go outside and exercise it, that can be different than somebody that works physically all week and then goes and does something with their mind. He does not say specifically to you, we need to be led by God. And this is where people, they get legalistic about it. Well, you can't do this, you can't do that. What does the Bible say? It says, don't work. What's work to you? Some people may own a gardening business. They do stuff all week. And the last thing they want to see on their day off is a garden. Other people work industrial all week, and the thing they love to do is go garden. Just don't overdo it, right? There's people maybe that work on cars all the time. The last thing they want to do with their day off is go work on cars. Do it be a lot of people, you know, but it's different working on somebody else's car than working on your car. Because the other one, you're getting paid for. If you don't do it, you don't get paid. This one, you can take it or leave it. When you're doing something you have to do to try to get something done, because if you don't get it done, it's not going to get done, and you're not going to get the money, that's when you ask yourself that question, why am I doing it? If you can say it doesn't matter if I don't do it or not, you're probably... And this is just... What we read is Scripture, okay? It says don't work. What I'm saying now is based on what I've seen in Scripture. Those are the directions we have. It doesn't line it out for you. You can't do this, can't do this. I mean, back there, it would have had to list. You know, you can't work on a computer. What's a computer? Back here, when the Bible was written. You know, there's so many things. God cannot give you a list of everything you can and cannot do. We're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. And if you're being checked about it and you're doing it out of fear or out of necessity, I have to do this because this account's coming in and I won't get paid. Check your heart, because that's exactly the spirit that God said, don't do it. The manna was there for them to eat so that they could live. What's more important than that? And they think, if I don't get it, I will go hungry. But God said, don't do it. He said, stay and rest. Selah means think on it. But I have to. I remember Pastor Gill's, you know, Pastor Gill's my pastor in Lincoln, Nebraska. His father, you know, did his best to follow the Scripture, wasn't perfect about it, but he was a farmer. How many of you know at certain times of the year, you got to get stuff done?
Yeah.
Huh? Absolutely. The harvest is coming in? He would shut everything down on the Sabbath. He said, I don't care, they're right in the middle of harvest. He said, it's the Sabbath. He shut everything down. But we got to get it in. You don't think God knows that? You don't think he knows that the crop's got to get in? So we have to. So we're saying, God, you don't know in this situation. Your word does not apply. That's not true. But I just don't understand that. The Scripture's the Scripture. Now, there's no condemnation, but nobody's going to throw stones. But we got to know, why are we doing it? Is it out of fear? Is it because when you think I have to, God is never pushing with an, you have to get it done. The devil does that. I got to get it done or what? If you say, I got to get it done or what's coming after, that's usually fear. Why are you afraid of what's not going to get done? When you say, God, I'm going to do what you said and I know you'll take care of it. See, now that you're in trust. We got to wrap up. We're out of time. We'll pick it up next time.